chapter 2 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Where we'll springboard out of there. 2 Corinthians 2. Continue in our study on our spiritual warfare series on Sunday nights. I've been enjoying this. Enjoyed last week getting to meet our missionaries. Had a good time with them over at the Scherzer's house last Sunday night. It was good to hear a good report. Amen. Good to know that the Lord is working with what we are giving by faith, and that souls are being saved and lives are being changed. Tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, will be in verse number 10 and 11. We're going to continue our study tonight. Tonight, we want to talk about warring against satanic schemes. How many know Satan does have a scheme? He's after you. And he's after your husband, your wife, your daughter, your son, your aunt, your uncle, your mama, your daddy. And here's the thing we're going to learn about him is he doesn't come after every one of us the same. Each and every one of us have weaknesses, and all God's people say it. Each and every one of us have a sin that so easily besets us, and all God's people say it. Amen. Listen, Satan knows what that sin is. Satan knows a whole lot of things. You know, here's something about Satan. He was a created being by God. He's not dumb. He's nothing to play with. But here's what I can tell you. Greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. Amen. Tonight, listen, we have one living within us, the Holy Ghost of God, that is far more powerful than Satan has ever thought about being or will ever be. Satan's eternal doom is not going to change. He has a lake of fire waiting on him one day. You as a Christian do not. You should not live in defeat. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for your word and for your truth. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross. I thank you so much for the songs we had. Thank you for choir practice earlier. Thank you for the fellowship with the families that we've had today. Lord, we thank you for the new families that you allowed in our door this morning. You brought them to us, Lord, not by accident, but by on purpose. Lord, we have no doubt they were meant to be here, and we're thankful they were here to hear the gospel this morning. And Lord, may we at New Hope Independent Baptist Church always be, Lord, a spreader of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And tonight, Lord, I ask you now, in the name of Jesus, bind the devil off this place tonight. Lord, he does not want to hear or even want anything to happen that's going to be said tonight. He doesn't want God's people to be warned against satanic schemes. And Lord, I just pray, God, tonight that every one of us will take hold of this truth that we are victorious in Jesus Christ and that Satan is a defeated foe. And that we do not need to let him win any battles. Lord, I pray, God, tonight you'll cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit tonight. Lord, allow me to teach this as you would have it taught. Allow your people to hear it from you. Lord, let them hear from heaven. Just allow me to be the messenger. Now, Lord, just bless in all things. And all God's people said, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And you're there, say amen. Forgive my voice. It is not well. But we're going to get through it. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10, the Bible says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get, and what, church? How many has ever seen this verse? Raise your hand. This is a verse that is new, not to me, but probably to some of you. I remember the very first time I saw this. And the Bible says, lest Satan should get, and what? Advantage. Now listen, how many's ever played sports before? Or hunting, or fishing, or anything? You're constantly trying to take advantage of your opponent, are you not? And you're looking for any way possible to do so. When you're out hunting that bird, you're looking for advantages on that bird, right? When you're hunting that deer, when you're trying to catch that fish, when you're trying to defeat the opponent on the field, you're constantly watching film, going and studying the guy that you're going to be playing against or studying the young lady that you're going to be playing against. Why? Because you're looking for their weaknesses so that you can take advantage of them. Well, can I tell you tonight, Satan is constantly on the lookout, seeking whom he what? May devour. As soon as you open the door for satanic activity, folks, we've got to understand, number one, satanic activity is very real. It is not a game. It is not a myth. It is not a fairy tale. You mess around with satanic activity, and the demons of hell are going to haunt you. Now, they cannot possess you because they do not own you. You are owned and bought with a price. You belong to Jesus Christ. But you most certainly can be oppressed, not possessed as a Christian, as a born-again believer. Amen? So understand, he can't buy you, he cannot possess you, but he can oppress you. So picture the battlefield tonight. Picture Satan and his satanic realm, his demons, or his fallen angels, as we like to call them, the third of the angels that fell the day that Satan decided he wanted to be like God. And God said, no, you're not like me. I created you. And God kicked him out of heaven, and a third of the angels chose to follow him. And then hell was created a certain size for the devil and those third of the angels. But picture this satanic realm tonight on a battlefield, them versus us. And all through life, every day, we wake up. Most of us might have a routine. How many have a routine in the morning? Raise your hand. Now listen, you think the devil knows your routine? And then we go through our routine, and we go through our routine, and maybe there's one morning where our routine slips out and we don't have time to read the Bible, and the enemy is watching that and realizes that now you are vulnerable. You have not started your day with God's Word. I'll hide God's Word in my what? Heart, that I might not sin against God. And he knows, okay, Drew's vulnerable today. He's forgotten to pray. He's in a hurry. He slept in. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. He did not mentally, spiritually, physically prepare for the day. And all of a sudden now, Satan has found a weakness, and he's looking to take advantage of you tonight. You've got to understand, it is very real. The Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So number one, in this verse, we see that Satan can take advantage of us. Amen? But we also see that we do not have to be ignorant of Satan and his devices. See, God's Word, tonight we're going to learn some things about Satan's devices and his schemes and the way he works. Because why? Because God wants us to understand that that enemy is already defeated. We must choose to live a Spirit-filled life. Folks, it's like this. Either we're going to walk in the Spirit or we're going to walk in the what? The flesh. And when we're walking in the flesh, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of your what? Of your flesh. It's a choice tonight to live Spirit-filled. When we enter the Christian life, forgive, it's going to be a lot of reading tonight, so just listen up, but it's good information, I promise. When we entered the Christian life, we entered not into a playground, but a battlefield. How many would agree with that? It is a constant battlefield, flesh warring against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Even though we could not hear the bombs blasting in the distance, the rifles shooting relentlessly at their targets, the jets fully loaded with bombs ready to be dropped strategically in the right places, we are living in harm's way of a very intense battle. How many had a thought this week that maybe if you'd have took heed to that thought, you could have been fearful? All the time. Now, where do those fearful thoughts come from? Is that God? Where do they come from? The devil. This morning we learned, what's the opposite of fear? Faith. What's the opposite of faith? Fear. So either we're living by faith or we're living in what? Fear. There's never been a time in our lives when we were not a walking target, when the enemy did not have the crosshairs of his scope fixed directly upon us. He knows our name, he knows our background, and he studies our weaknesses and our strengths, the places in which we are most vulnerable, and he has been studying us since we came to the cross. We are in his sights. Whether it is day or night, whether you are a man or woman, listen to this, young or old, physically fit, emotionally or mentally weak, a natural athlete, studious, radical or shy, engaging in serious Bible study, training for the ministry in a Bible college, carnal and out of the will of God, married, single, widowed or divorced, well-educated or poorly educated, whether your background is a solid, wholesome family or whether your roots are fractured and broken, your adversary, the devil, and his clan of demons have one goal for you, and that is your downfall and ultimately destruction of your life and family. See, here's the problem. He seeks us out. For every daddy that Satan can seek out and destroy, There's a mama and some baby suffering because of that. Look at America right now. You want to know why we have a generation of children like they are? You want to know why we have generations of kids who don't know what they are? Because the family structure's out of order. Folks, look, God always intended one man, one woman. God always intended one man, one woman. Y'all all right? Always. That's always been God's plan. He never intended two women to be married and raise children. He never intended two men to be married and raise children. That's not how it is. Today, we live in a day where two men or two women can adopt children and get insurance for them. That's where we're at. But here's where we're failing to realize, yeah, we think it's gross, we think it's sick, we think it's nasty, it's vile, and it is all those things, but the enemy is behind it all. See, Satan has started attacking the home. What we don't realize, that's why it's all so important for the young people that come into our church. Listen, many of them have good structured homes, but I guarantee in the next few years you'll see, Lord willing, we'll bring kids in here that their homes will be a mess. And folks, listen, it's going to be up to us to show them the love of Jesus Christ. It's going to be up to us to pull them out of the lies that Satan has placed them in. It was never God's design for their home to be wrecked and marred and beaten. It was never God's design for that child to suffer like that. But look, Satan has infiltrated the home. He's infiltrated the dads. He's infiltrated the moms. And now he's lying to the children to the point of, you don't even know what you are. When we have a Bible who clearly, or which, what that clearly tells us, man or what? There's no in between. There's no both. Folks, I'm not trying to make fun of these people tonight. I'm telling you, Satan has devoured our homes. And he's not done. We've got to be on the lookout. His goal is not simply to wound us, and his hope is not simply to cripple us, but it is to emphatically ruin us. The demons work to that end, whether we are awake or asleep, aware, unaware, or even forgetful, or at work, or on vacation. While we are alone or with a group, we have an enemy that stalks our every step. He desires to interrupt us in every way. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 2:18 the words, "But Satan hindered me." I wonder how many of you would say, "Satan has hindered me this week." But here's my question. How did you handle the hindrance? Did you by faith say, you know what? Greater is he that is within me. Listen, the best thing you can do is quote scripture when you are tempted. What happened when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness? What did he do? He quoted scripture. Three times he had to quote scripture to the devil before the devil finally fled. But the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have the ability to win. This conflict is in the classroom where we study, the home where we live, and the church where we worship. Interestingly enough, he hopes that we will think nothing of him, doubting his existence at all together. And if we do not think about, and if we do think about him, he wants us to think of him as a character with a red tail, horns, and a pitchfork. Webster's dictionary calls this image a ludicrous distortion. He just does not want us to really be aware of the true enemy that he is. Let me say this. You know, a lot of you, if you'd honest, you'd say you could picture Satan with the pitchfork and the horns. But here's the deal. Who would ever want to have anything to do with something that looked like that? See, Satan was a created individual. And the last thing I remember, God fearfully and wonderfully made everything. If Satan were not a master deceiver, if sin did not look fun, we wouldn't touch it. If we could see what it was actually going to produce, the sour fruit that was going to come out of our sin, most of us with any common sense at all would say, I'm not doing that. But we don't. Because why? Because we're walking in the flesh and we're fulfilling the lust of the flesh thereof, because we're not submitting to the Holy Spirit of God. He just does not want us to be really aware of the true enemy he is. If he succeeds, his mission is accomplished. Our adversary, the devil, has not been thought of by the average Christian more than twice in the last few weeks. The average Christian is so busy fighting the flesh and blood battles that they do not give much attention to the fact that their real enemy is the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world and the spiritual wickedness in high places. If we are the average Christian, we were not schooled or trained to deal with this subject very much. In fact, many professors of religion encourage their students to leave it alone. It is too invisible or unreal, and therefore, if we do deal with it, we become a joke and are made fun of for believing in the real enemy. Wonder how many of you have ever been made fun of for proclaiming that Satan's real and that all wickedness comes from him, that all bad thoughts come from him. Hey, listen, you want to get made fun of real quick? Go to work tomorrow, and when something bad happens, say, that's the devil. They're going to look at you like, come again? That's not the devil. No, listen. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Nothing bad comes from God. I'll say it again. Nothing bad comes from God. No bad thought ever came from God. No bad dream ever came from God. No nightmare ever came from God. Folks, those are all side effects of a spiritual battle that's taking effect in individuals' lives. They think that weird people and off-balance preachers enter into this conflict with such intensity. We have games, movies, books, and videos about Satan. We think it is humorous to play with Ouija boards, Dungeons and Dragons, levitation, palm reading, and seances, read Harry Potter, etc. Hey, and if you're reading that stuff, stop reading that stuff. Get that stuff out of your home. Take those books outside, light a match to them, and pour some gas on them. It's straight out of hell, and it's nothing to mess with. You should not be introducing and inviting satanic activity into your home on purpose. Understand that stuff is of the devil. It's witchcraft. Read your Bible. We play with them as if they are not really attached to demonic activity. We cannot see this conflict and enemy with our eyes. We have a hard time relating to the reality of it all. On the other hand, we would love for us to think of him all the time, so that every time something happens to us, we will say, the devil made me do it. Folks, don't believe that lie. You choose to do it. The devil can't make you do anything. He has no power over a believer of Jesus Christ. Zero. But what you grant him. He cannot make you do anything. He can try to convince you. He can send you thoughts. And he can get you to a lowest of lows. Listen, people that commit suicide. Who's behind the thoughts? The devil is, but the devil didn't pull the trigger. The devil didn't open the pill container and turn the bottle up and swallow the poison. Y'all with me? The devil did not do that. He sent the thought that started it all, and he sat back and laughed at the result of the hurting and brokenhearted mom and dad whose baby have just ended their life early. That's the devil. But the devil didn't make them do it. Preachers who have been faithful to God's word through the ages have taught on the devil and his demons. Some preachers who have been faithful deny or ignore the subject. It is our responsibility to present the truth regardless of what others think of us or what they do or what they do not want to hear. The word of God says a lot about our adversary, the devil. There's absolutely no way for a preacher that studies this book to ignore the subject. There's so much about our enemy and demons in the Bible. Back in 1655, William Gorell wrote three volumes based on Ephesians 6:10-18 called The Christian in Complete Armor. Each volume is nearly 400 pages long. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Some of you can probably quote these scriptures. Previously in the Sunday nights of late, we've talked about the whole armor of God. You know, that word whole there is for a reason. It's important that we put on the whole armor that we may be able to stand. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Put on the what, church? whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against what? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We see right there that if we are taking on and putting on the whole armor of God, the Bible says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench some, or does the Bible say all? All the fiery darts of the devil. So is it possible to resist the devil every single time? It absolutely is. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Chances are good that most of us here have never really studied the schemes of the enemy, and yet, my friend, we are influenced by his schemes daily. I've had enough experience with him to know that he does not like us speaking or writing to expose him for what he truly is. He is the only person that does not want to be exposed for all the work that he does. See, that's why it's very important when you pray in the name of Jesus, and we bind the devil. And listen, when we do that, guess what, folks? All he can do is sit back and wish. And until somebody opens the door, he has zero ground. That's why it's very important, Sunday school teachers, before you teach those kids, bind the devil, but in the name of who? Jesus. That way the distractions, you'll have less distractions, less hindrances, and the devil has to obey that. There's nothing he can do about it. Before we preach, listen, the devil hates what's going on right here. He's out there right now looking, begging for somebody to open a door in their heart, have a bad thought so he can infiltrate. But hey, he's on the outside looking in because he's bound in the name of Jesus Christ. He hates what we're doing. We're exposing the lies of the enemy. Folks, listen, we are victorious. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We are not victims, but victors tonight. Amen? That's who we are. He surely does not want to be exposed in truth. He wants us to think nothing of him and hates the fact that there is a book on this subject. He knows that many that read this book do not really understand the power of the God in which we serve, and the devil cannot stand against the power of our God. I'll say it again, the devil cannot stand against the power of our God. Somebody ought to say amen right there. There's no power greater than the power of our God. God and Satan do not even relate or compete when it comes to their powers. It's like a professional baseball player playing with a preschool t-ball player. Picture that. Who's going to win the game? Satan is supernatural in nature, making him so effective against us. Do not underestimate him, even though we cannot see him or hear him. He does communicate with his clan of fallen angels. Everything revolves around understanding two words: spiritual warfare. Folks, it's oftentimes when things happen, how many ever had an argument with your spouse? Raise your hand. Just be honest. It's all right. I'm raising my hand too. Look, now when we're mad at our spouse, it's natural for us, if she says something or he says something, for us to do what? Say something back, right? I mean, why? But what does the Bible teach? Who would be behind the thought for she or he to say something negative that just torqued you the wrong way, and now who's in your mind saying, get her back, get him back? Who's doing that? What does the Bible say? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Listen, it's hard and we rarely ever do it. But what would happen if we just looked at her and said, you know what? I'm sorry. If I did something to offend you, honey, just forgive me. Please. I don't want to say any harsh words to you. I don't want to argue. I don't want to fight. But what would happen is we'd be resisting the devil at that moment. And we'd say, Lord, if you could now come back and gain control of this situation, the devil's trying to infiltrate, trying to cause division in our home. And many of us have kids that hear that stuff. grandkids that hear it. Folks, that's not healthy. That's not God's design. But what would happen if we practiced the right methods? It would produce right results in our homes. In the study of spiritual warfare, we must understand that we must not just become a student of it and it alone. We must keep it in balance by making sure that we make people aware of the enemy, but magnify the power of God. Many make men aware of God, but magnify the power of Satan. Whatever we study or read on this subject, let us make sure that the writers are biblical to the core. What I would suggest is to get a concordance and study thoroughly words such as Satan, devil, adversary, principalities, powers, darkness, and Lucifer. One of the best steps to help us deal with the enemy is to know our enemy, or to become more informed about him. Just as much as he's studying you, listen, you should study and understand his schemes against you, all while giving God the glory and credit and thanking God that you have dominion over him because of Jesus Christ. Amen? The enemy preys on ignorant Christians. You say you call me ignorant? No. But I'm telling you, the Bible says to be not ignorant of Satan's devices. The enemy preys on ignorant Christians and tries to keep the unsaved blind. He truly prefers the ignorant Christian. There are believers that are so ignorant to the devices of the enemy that they really do believe that their lives are lining up scripturally. Yet because of their ignorance, Satan himself deceives them. His plan is to break us and ruin us and work against us and the cause of Christ. Now remember that his days are numbered. This is good. His days are numbered. And all God's people said, amen. He is doomed and whipped. It is only a matter of time before he will end up in the place built for him called the lake of fire. The place, the Bible says, is built for the devil and his angels. The devil is very good at what he does. But he also knows that every day he has left is one day closer to his eternal doom. If he can take millions with him, nothing will delight him more. He lives and breathes it. Beginning in verse 10 of Ephesians 6, we see many action verbs, such as be strong in verse 10, put on in verse 11, stand firm against verse 11, take up or unto verse 13, resist or withstand in verse 13, stand firm against in verse 13, and stand firm against in verse 14. I do not read anything about fearing, trembling, worrying, or cowering down to. I do not see anywhere that it tells me that I have to be scared when something goes in the middle of the night. Anybody ever heard that in the middle of the night and you're in your bed and you just hear something that ain't supposed to be sounding like that? And what's the natural reaction? Crystal. I don't know what I'm talking about. Don't laugh. Everybody's like, she's looking at you and you're looking at her and you're like, maybe it won't happen again. But look, where does the spirit of immediate fear come from? Think about it. If God said he has not given us a spirit of what? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Listen, if we have covered that place and prayed over that place and in the name of Jesus asked him to protect that place, listen, the worst that can happen to you or me is heaven. Y'all all right with that? But where does that immediate spirit of fear come from? When we're in the dark. We can't see, but we know that noise wasn't normal. That fear sprung up from where? The devil. And that's just simply not a godly attribute. I read nothing here that tells me, and when it comes to the world of darkness, that I am to shake it, that I am to shake when I face it. We have nothing to fear. Our strength is in the Lord. That is what we are exhorted to do in verse number 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If our strength is in the Lord, then our stance is stronger than the devil. There's urgency in these verses. It is not passive. There's a knowledge that we are to be equipped when concerning the schemes of the devil. He says in Ephesians 6:11 to stand against the wiles of the devil. There should not be ignorance when it comes to the believer in this area of knowing the wiles of the devil. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, let Satan get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We are to be discerning of this conspiracy of Satan, alert to it. The world media and Hollywood have made this into a moneymaker. Y'all okay with that? Look at the movies that you watch today and the music that you listen to today. I mean, it is very, it saddens me that I'll start watching a TV show and I'm like, finally, a good TV show. And you talk to somebody who's already watched the show and they're like, all right, season 3's coming, just letting you know there's homosexuals in there. Then you're like, why do they always have to put that in there? Why? Because Satan has infiltrated and is changing what God made good. See, Satan always has a plan to come up against what God has done. God said man and woman. Satan said, who is God to say that a man and a man can't love each other? Who is God to say, what if a woman and a woman love each other? It's their right. Folks, that's a lie. God didn't give you that right. It's like saying you have the right to murder your baby. Y'all all right? Who's behind murder? God said, thou shalt not what? Kill. And it doesn't matter what you believe on that, it's murder. And they're going to be held accountable for that. Do I believe they can get saved? Absolutely. Because Jesus Christ died for their sins also. But I believe that the Bible says, woe unto you who offend one of these little ones. God loves each and every creation that he has ever created. See, he allowed that lady, no matter the circumstance, here's what my Bible teaches. God is the giver and taker of life. It was no accident that that lady got pregnant. Y'all okay? There's never been an accidental pregnancy. Not one. Don't let anyone ever lie to you and tell you that. The circumstance might not have been right, but the life was no accident. God is the giver and the what? Taker of life. If that were true, you know, there'd be a lot of people with 20, 30, 40 kids. But am I right? But hey, listen, God allows children to be formed in their mother's womb as he sees fit. And he makes no mistakes. Folks, listen, the devil's behind all of the wickedness that's going on. From the movies, to the music, to the abortion, to the homosexual movement in our country. I mean, look in our country right now, listen. Look at the sex slavery in our country. Little boys and girls getting taken away and traded for money. Why? Who's behind all that? The devil is. Who's behind the broken home that those little boys and girls came out of? The devil is. But folks, who's on the other side warring for the souls of all these little ones? God is. And we, the church, ought to be. We, the church, have got to learn to stand in the gap. Back in the Old Testament, he said, I sought for a man to stand in the gap, and I found none. I wonder today if God says, hey, I'm looking for some men and some women that'll stand in the gap in Covington County, Alabama. I wonder if you'll be that one that'll say, I'll stand in whatever gap God needs me to stand in. I'll stand in that gap, and I'll stand strong. I'll stand undefeated because of who I am in Christ. I wonder if that's your testimony today. Or will you stand defeated? We're almost done. Ephesians 6:10 leaves no room for mistakes. Our strength is in the Lord and found in Christ and in his armor. Note that in verse 13, we are putting on the whole armor of God. It is his armor. As a child of God, we have the Holy Spirit living inside us. That is the third person of the Trinity. He is co-equal, co-powerful, and co-eternal. We have all the attributes of the living God actively in us. The Spirit of God is there every day to be in charge of our lives. And as we give him total control, he becomes all that we need. We should begin every day with these words. Listen to this and we'll be done. Lord, this is your day. I cannot walk in it in my own strength. I cannot face the things that I must face on my own. I cannot fight my own battles. I cannot protect myself from the attacks. I cannot ready myself for what might come. So I give you charge of my mind, my will, and my emotions. I am yours, and I ask that you give me your strength so that I may make it through the day on the side of victory and not defeat. Listen, folks, what God needs from you and I is to stop living defeated. Things are going to happen to us. People are going to fail us. People around us that we love are going to come, they're going to go. But look, guys, God is still in control of it all. He's not surprised by your circumstance. And look, I hate to tell you this, but my circumstance and your circumstance, don't throw God out of whack. He's still God. The Bible says he never changes. He's the same today, yesterday, and what, church? Forever. Folks, listen, God never changes. And let me say this, Jesus never fails. I'll end with this. The song they sang tonight, it was called what? He's All I Need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, I thank you so much for dying on the cross for our sins. Lord, I ask you now as we go our separate ways this week, Lord, you'll bless our families, God, and get them home safely. Lord, heal the ones who aren't feeling well. Bring them back to us on Wednesday night, Lord, so that they can fellowship with us as believers again. Lord, thank you again for opening up or giving us the opportunity to open up your word tonight and tell your people. And Lord, let your people understand, God, that Satan does have a scheme, but God, you've given us the ability to defeat him, and he's already defeated. Now, Lord, I just ask you, we take to heart, and Lord, we put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. And Lord, may we trust you this week and give you our lives and our hearts and our mind, emotion, and will. Lord, may we submit wholly unto God in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed. Thank you for coming.